Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back to Not Another Mummy Podcast. I'm Alison Perry, and you're listening to episode 2. If you listen to episode 1, you'll know that this is the podcast where I interview parents on different topics. Last episode was Sarah Turner from the Unmumsy Mum, so go and check that out if you haven't already. And today my guest is Erica Davies, who is a former fashion editor, and she's a mum of two, and she blogs at The Edited, and she's huge on Instagram, so go and check her out there. And I wanted to speak to Erica about that horrible period of time that everyone goes through where you've had a baby and you forget how to get dressed. It's that horrible identity crisis thing. And it's really hard to dress yourself in those early days. So I really wanted to get some tips from Erica. So she was great at telling me how she has refined her own personal style. And we also caught up about her gorgeous home renovation, her rescue dog, Rudy, and life in general. So I hope you enjoy it. Welcome, Erica Davies, to the podcast.
Thanks, Alison Perry.
I am really excited to have you here to chat to me. So for anyone who doesn't know you, you're mum to Charlie, who is 7.
Yes.
And Lila, who's 5.
That's right. Well done.
Thanks. And also mum to a little rescue dog, Rudy, aren't you?
Yeah, I don't know whether I can officially be called his mother yet. There's no love on his side yet.
Well, it's... even more so you're his mum then, because that is basically parenting.
That's true. It's all the relentless hard work and no joy at the moment. But yeah, well, we've adopted this rescue puppy through a charity called Wild at Heart Foundation. And I didn't realise how emotional it was going to be, actually. And every day I am still questioning myself and my decision. It's one of those things, you know, Lila started reception last September. Work is going well. I've got an amazing childminder. So I've thrown a feral dog in the mix.
Why wouldn't you do that?
Why wouldn't I do that?
Yeah.
Tied to the house.
So for anyone who follows you on Instagram, they will have seen your journey with Rudy. It really feels like it has been a journey with you, Erica.
In an X Factor style.
Yes. And I guess that's, you know, also, you know, with you renovating your home, I feel like we've all been on that journey with you as well, because you really do keep us all posted on Instagram as to
whether you want it or not, quite frankly.
We can unfollow you if we want to.
That's true, yeah.
It's always
the unfollow button.
But you come across as somebody who's got a really strong sense of your identity. Would you say that's a fair analysis?
I think that is I think that's really accurate, actually. I do. I think it's taken me, well, I'm 40 now, and I think it's taken me a while to kind of, you know, navigate the many elements of my life, whether it be job, career, you know, having children, all of those things, I think you absorb and then you put out there some version of yourself that feels natural. There was definitely a time when I was working in an office when I had a uniform, you know, I'd have my power dress and my statement jewellery, and it was quite, I worked in a very masculine environment. I was fashion editor on the Sun newspaper for 10 years. So it was a very, very masculine environment, and I did feel like I needed some kind of armour.
Mm.
And then I went to a fashion magazine with this amazing woman sitting next to me called Alison Perry.
So we met, didn't we? we kind of met on Twitter, weirdly. I seem to remember I tweeted you saying, oh, I really like your blog. And we kind of chatted a bit on Twitter, and then we ended up working together, didn't we, at Look magazine.
Next to each other.
And we sat next to each other like desk buddies. Yeah. It was lovely coming
into
it. Made
each other tea all day.
Yeah. I seem to remember I made you more tea than you made me, though, Erica.
I don't think that's true at all.
I'm making up for it now. I'm sat in Erica's gorgeous home, and I'm drinking the second cup of tea that she's made me today.
Yeah.
So I'm getting my own back.
Well done.
But yeah, I feel like looking at your Instagram feed and your blog, it feels like you've got a real strong sense of your identity, whether it's the way that you dress yourself, whether it's, you know, the way that you're renovating your home and the accessories that you're putting in. But how does it feel being somebody who now people look to and aspire to be a bit like?
I just think it's one of those... I'm very comfortable with who I am. Mm. I'm very comfortable with who I am as a person. I know I'm never going to be a size 8. As much as I'd like slim thighs, that's not going to be for me because I'm fundamentally quite lazy. But, you know, I'm very comfortable with who I am. And I think that's what I'm trying to put out there, is a sense of just having fun with things. With my house, for example, I just wanted somewhere inspiring and interesting and somewhere that my children would have fun growing up in. I'm not creating a grey, beige house to sell on. I'm creating a home for us all to live in, and I want it to be fun and to reflect me. And I can't tell you how much I'm enjoying it. And with my clothes, I think it's just been a process of elimination over the years of knowing what I like. I love a bit of embroidery. I know the skirt shapes I like. I don't really like my legs. So it's just trying to work out, you know, what suits you and what works for you.
Yeah. It's funny because when I first met you, I think Lila was about 8 months old, right about that. And I feel like you look quite different now. Is that a fair thing to say? Another day you posted on Instagram stories, I think it was, pictures of a magazine.
Ideal Homes. And I just had Charlie then.
You just had Charlie. So I didn't know you back then, but you were commenting on your hair, and it does feel like you've had a very slight reinvention since then.
I wouldn't say reinvention. I think what I did do for such a long time, which goes back to me having the sort of armor element of working in a very masculine newspaper office, I hated my hair. I hated the fact that it was thick and it's curly. So I used to fight with it for years. So, and it was the time when GHDs were everybody's best friend, and I used to iron them to death.
We all did that, didn't we? That kind of poker straight.
And it never really suited me. I mean, I did it for years, but, you know, my hair's quite thick. And then one day, and I think it was actually when I was at Look, I just thought, I'm just going to embrace the curl.
Yeah.
Let's just go with this. And so now I feel more me. Rather than trying to pat it down constantly and put product on it to keep it straight, I can just let it go. And it just feels a lot more free. There's the doorbell.
Go on, go and get it. Wonder who it is.
Excuse me.
So, as we were saying...
Yeah, so I wouldn't say necessarily reinvention. I would say just a more gradual acceptance that this is who I am and stop fighting it.
So thinking back to when Charlie was a baby, did you go through that kind of slight crisis of identity?
So badly. It was a really strange time. I was one of the first. I was certainly the first on my team at work to have had a baby. And we were all a really similar age, so there was a group of us. We all used to go out all the time. I mean, you can imagine, you know, no responsibility. There'd be invitations all the time. We'd be out most nights. And there I was, suddenly at home on maternity leave with a tiny baby, everything I ever wanted, so happy to be a mum. And yet I didn't know who I was anymore. And I was looking on Facebook and they were still going out every night.
How dare they?
And it was, you know, their lives hadn't stopped. Mine had completely changed. And I remember probably Charlie must have been about 8 weeks old and my mum was down so she could babysit. And my husband James said, come on, I'm going to take you out for dinner. Let's go out for dinner. And we were going to go into London and go out for some food. Mum was going to babysit. And I can remember standing in front of my wardrobe and sobbing. And just everything I put on looked awful. You know, I still obviously had postpartum body, so I had very flabby tummy and nothing felt right. And I know it's such a silly thing to say now, because you just think, oh, come on, deal with it. Everybody has babies. Everybody feels like that. But actually at the time, it's so difficult to navigate because you just don't feel like yourself and you feel confused. And who am I anymore? And I think going back to what I said earlier about having this uniform at work, my wardrobe was quite distinct. At the weekend, I would actually be really casual. Never really been a jeans kind of a person. So my weekend wardrobe would always be something casual, maybe like jersey, trousers or something like that. And then during the week, I was sorted. Work, I was happy because I put my uniform on and I'd go to work. Weekend, I was less comfortable. And so when I was on maternity leave the whole time, I found that really difficult because I was still in that mindset of dressing for work every day. But actually, my whole wardrobe needed looking at.
Mm.
And so that was the start of me just thinking, right, what do I like? What's my body shape now?
That must have been quite weird as a fashion journalist to have to reassess your own fashion identity in a way.
Yes, and I really admire people when I read about it and they barely put weight on during pregnancy, they barely change their shape. I mean, I think I put on 3 stone when I had Charlie. I looked like somebody had blown me up. On the pictures of me having him, he was an emergency cesarean, and the pictures of me holding him in hospital, I looked stunned, knackered, but also like someone had blown me up with a balloon, you know, a pump. It was just really weird time. So yes, I'm hugely envious of people that barely change their style during pregnancy and then come out the other end and lose the weight immediately.
Do you think there's more, you know, do you think there's more help, almost more support these days? So, you know, you had Charlie 7 years ago, I had my daughter 6 years ago, and it kind of feels like now there are so many more, like, you know, fashionable mums and fashionable pregnant women around, whether it's bloggers or celebrities or social media. So it feels like there's more inspiration nowadays.
Yes, I think, well, previously we'd probably have had to rely on celebrity pictures in magazines. Now you've got real people on Instagram doing amazing things, stylish women who completely inspire you and who are going through a similar thing. You know, you only need to tap into a few that you really admire and you've got a whole plethora of style inspiration there. And I didn't have that, so you're sort of navigating it yourself. Said navigating a lot. I'm going to stop saying navigating.
To be fair, you were navigating a lot back then. So
I was.
So what did you discover? So when you were, you know, back then when you were a new mum and you were having to kind of rediscover who you were and what you were about fashion-wise, what did you turn to? What became your kind of maternity leave wardrobe?
It would have been blogs. It would have been kind of early day blogs. It would have been Pinterest, a lot of time spent on Pinterest.
And what did you end up wearing? What was the
kind of... Initially, when I'd first had him, I did a lot of sort of skinny jeans and tunics over the top.
Did you wear a legging? Did you ever wear a legging?
I did when I was pregnant.
I lived in leggings when I was pregnant and a new mum, which feels like a massive fashion faux pas.
I just think until you've tried a maternity jegging, you haven't lived.
It's all about the comfort, isn't it?
Oh my God, it is all about the comfort. A maternity jegging, when you've pulled that right over that bump,
oh, yes,
and it's almost touching the top of your bra.
What do you mean almost? I was tempted to get up to the neck.
Nobody's coming near me.
Yes, yeah. So, leggings when you were pregnant, but not when you were a new mum.
Yeah, no, possibly in the first few weeks. You know, you've got to support those massive maternity pads, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
And Primark packs of 6, size 18 pants, I think I bought, just went oversized, so they would literally come right up.
That's what Primark is brilliant for, isn't it? All that kind of stuff. Excellent.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I kind of remember thinking back to when I was at that stage, I was totally gobsmacked that it took ages for my bump to disappear. I remember being pregnant and going into like a kid's clothing shop and seeing a mum with a pram and a big belly. And I was thinking, I'm so confused. I don't know what's going on here because you're pregnant, but you've got a new baby in this pram. How is this happening?
That was a low point, actually, going into Mothercare in Croydon and buying, I don't know, what little onesies, vest onesies, a pack of. And I think I'd left Charlie with James at home. And the woman asking me when I was due, when it was actually due.
Oh.
I was like, I've had him.
Yeah.
Must stop eating.
But it takes a while for that bump to go down.
Yeah, it does. And you should just embrace that because, my God, you've got so much else going on.
Did you make any massive kind of fashion faux pas? So when I just didn't have a clue what was going on, when, you know, in that, those hazy, sleep-deprived first few weeks. So when I was a new mum, it was quite trendy for all the young uns to be wearing animal hats. So like Katy Perry rocked an animal hat with like ears and a face. And I remember a particularly low point.
Where are you going with this?
Rocking up to baby sensory class with my 7 or 8 week old baby. And we were both wearing animal hats. She was wearing her baby animal hat because she was 8 weeks old and that's kind of allowed. And I was rocking mine and got quite a few strange looks from the other mums who were like, what's going on?
Did they not think you were super cool because Katy Perry was wearing them?
In my head, I was super cool. I knew that's why I was wearing it. But they were just thinking, why are you wearing an animal hat like to, you know, to match your baby?
But Mini Me is all the rage now. Every brand is doing Mini Me outfits. You were just so ahead of the curve.
I was so ahead of the curve.
I don't know about faux pas. There's certainly items that I could never look at again. For example, my Ugg boots, which I wore to death basically because my feet swelled so much. They were the only thing that I could pull on. And also, I had a River Island black and white maternity check. I don't know if River Island still do maternity wear, actually. But they did. And I had quite a cool for very, very late stages of pregnancy, black and white checked shirt. It had kind of pockets in it. It was tunic style and I used to wear it with my leggings, with my Ugg boots. And I also used it when I first had him because it was great for breastfeeding. And I cannot ever look at a black and white checked shirt ever again. I would never buy anything because it just reminds me of that. And I just wore it so often.
It's amazing, though, how clothing can just evoke such strong memories.
Yeah.
Good memories and bad memories.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there was loads of things. You know, there was lots of things that I wore that I just felt really uncomfortable in and that were just too tight. I remember going to meet a friend once and I put on a dress that I'd worn previously before I'd had Charlie, and it was too tight. Mm. And I did it anyway and I went out, and I'm so glad I wasn't taking pictures of myself for Instagram at that point,
back in the day when we didn't document every single day. Okay, so tips. So if there are any mums listening who are at that stage, you know, which shops are great for kind of like just simple pieces to, you don't have to think too hard about putting together a simple, comfortable but stylish outfit.
I really think invest in basics. So go to places like, we'll just get a really good pair of black, really dark denim jeans that will go over your bump. Don't ever go for the under the bump ones. I must have gone through about 3 pairs of those and they're just rubbish and you're constantly hoiking it up. Just get everything to go over the bump. I would also recommend going to places like COS, actually, who do that slightly cocoony, oversized shape regardless. It's not cut maternity-wise, but it doesn't matter because I lived in those. I lived in tunics. There were a couple of dresses that I just wore over trousers, and I felt really comfortable in those. So I would look at non-maternity wear as well as some key pieces of maternity wear.
So hair and makeup, do you think that it's just a case of whacking your hair up in a top knot? What did you do?
There was a lot of top knot action. Do you know what? I think it's a really subjective thing. If you are somebody that feels better about themselves, if you've had a bit of a blow dry, go and have a blow dry. Just don't put any pressure on yourself. If you don't feel like it, if you can't bother to wash your hair, just put it in a top knot. It doesn't matter. Dry shampoo is amazing.
It really is.
I would just always suggest remembering a good moisturiser and a red lipstick. And I think you'd be fine with those two things.
The red lipstick just covers, it just makes up for so many things, doesn't it?
So many things. It looks like you've made an effort, even if you haven't got a scrap of other makeup on. It will detract from any tired eyes, which is important. I've also discovered, by the way, there's this amazing thing called Eye Lift, which is by Trish McAvoy. Mm. And it's kind of, it's very light. It's called the triangle of light. It's like an inverted triangle that you do under your eye. And you put this cream on in an inverted triangle and then just pat it all in. It's a game changer.
That's really interesting because I once read in a magazine that, you know, with the like Touche Éclat and all those kind of things, that you should, obviously this is great for, you know, a podcast because you can see exactly what we're doing, but you should put it in like a triangle underneath your eyes. I wonder if that's the same theory.
Just for the tape, Alison is drawing a triangle under her
underneath
eye.
My eye. But yeah, I wonder if it's the same theory. That's really interesting.
It is, I think, yeah. The triangle of light, that's what they call it. That's what the YouTubers call it.
Oh. But yeah, it, at that stage, it is all about making yourself look less tired than you feel.
Yeah.
The other thing as well, have you seen Susie Verrill? The plaits, the amazing plaits. So she had... she's an Instagram, a blogger, which you guys should go and check out on Instagram.
Also used to work with us at Look.
Yeah, she did. All comes back to Look magazine.
And Hannah Gale.
Yeah, so we all work together at the same time at Look, and we're all now bloggers.
And mums-to-be.
Yes, exactly. So Susie had her second baby last week, and she had the most amazing double plait thing going on, which I just thought was brilliant, because... when you are about to have a C-section and then, you know, be in the throes of those first few days of being a new mum, the last thing you want to worry about is your hair.
Yeah.
So I just thought, genius move from her, having those amazing plaits that she could just leave and
slightly
not think
Game
about.
Of Thrones as well.
It was slightly, yes.
Yeah, I think that is genius. The kind of braid, the tight braid that you can just sleep in and not worry about. Obviously, that isn't going to work if you've got a bob or shorter.
No. That's when I think the top knot and lots of Kirby grips come in
also
handy.
Also, I think the hair wrap. You know, Clemmy Hooper's a massive fan. Anna Farquharson, massive fan of the hair wrap.
Yes.
They are all, and you can get those from Under the Stories, ASOS.
Zara do them as well.
Just tie them round and put your hair in a top knot, and it looks a bit more put together.
I keep meaning to get into the hair wrap thing, but I'm not convinced I can pull it off. But I keep meaning to try it.
It's one of those things that I think you should try on holiday when you're a bit more confident and it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. No one I know will see me.
No one I know.
Apart from everyone on social media.
But then it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
You can't hear them silently judging you.
That's so true. Okay, brilliant. Some quick fire questions for you, Erica. Okay. Favourite shop ever?
Under the Stories.
Why is that?
I just love it. I love the breadth of product. I like the fact that it's a bit different. I love the store layouts. I like the fact that there's loads of plants in there. It's just a really well thought out store and it's not super expensive.
Yeah. Next question. Favorite. Very apt considering where we're sitting right now. How many cushions do you actually own? So for the record, we are sitting on an amazing green corner sofa and it's packed with cushions.
Yeah. My husband doesn't really like the cushions. For much, you know, to kind of go on what you've just said, I have been sent, I'm very lucky, I get sent a lot of stuff and I have just put them on here at the moment. So I have been sent, I got three sent to me this morning.
Right, I see. That's the only reason you've got lots of cushions, because you were sent three this morning.
I do love a cushion.
I love a cushion too. I'm on a bit of a cushion buying ban. But that said, Mr. P did point out a cushion that he really liked the other day, and he said, I shouldn't be showing you this, but that's quite a nice cushion, isn't it? You know, and I was like, what are you doing enabling me to buy cushions when I'm on a ban?
You are married to a metrosexual though, aren't you?
Yes, I am. So are you. I mean, James is pretty forward thinking. It's good. If you could only keep one of your embroidered dresses, which would it be?
Are you going to say one of your children?
That's the next question.
If I could keep one of my embroidered dresses, which one would it be? Do you know what? I actually sold a couple recently. I think I would rather keep a couple of the tops, and the one that I would keep is one that I got in a little antique shop a few years ago. James had a No Kids Weekend to Babington House.
Oh, the dream.
And we went to this really lovely little village on the way home. I went for lunch somewhere, and I just saw this gorgeous embroidered, it's proper Hungarian vintage one. I mean, it's pretty much falling apart, and it's held together at the back with a safety pin, but I just love it. And it's that crisp cotton that when you iron it, you just feel really satisfied with life.
Yeah,
but I think I'd keep that one.
Excellent, excellent. And which child would you keep?
Neither.
The dog.
Yeah.
Rudy. And what's been your most embarrassing moment as a parent? Do you have one?
Oh, there have been so many. I mean, there have been the unfortunate nappy explosions. There was a particularly bad one in TK Maxx once when I had to actually take him naked around the shop. He was only tiny. It wasn't like he was five. And buy a completely new outfit.
Good that it happened in TK Maxx, yes, and you could actually do that. Imagine if it happened in the Co-op. I mean,
I know.
Imagine you could have then bought some nappies.
I know. There've been the tantrums in the middle of the floor.
Mm.
James had the worst one, though, because he had one where Charlie actually started shouting while lying on the pavement, shouting, "Don't touch me! Don't come near me!" And James was sort of looking at the strangers going, "He is my child! He is
I'm not some stranger trying to kidnap him."
Yeah,
oh my goodness.
We've had quite a few like that. But there's the red... You just feel that sort of burning heat coming from your neck upwards, and it's just horrendous.
Yeah. So, Erica, I would like to ask you, what is really in your handbag?
Well, so... I've got my handbag here, Alison. I tend to keep my handbag quite small.
It's a very stylish handbag. Can I just say it's round, it's small. How would you describe that?
It's a wicker. It's a little round wicker one. It's been on my Instagram a lot.
It's one of those really super stylish ones that all the cool kids have this summer. And yeah, it's gorgeous.
I do love it. It feels a bit like a holiday bag, really, but I'm wearing it every day. I've got my camera. I don't really go anywhere without my camera. But I also do have a collection of lipsticks. Now... how many have I got in here? Three lipsticks. So they tend to get... the ones that I'm going to wear that day go in. Also a lip balm. I'm always having a lip balm.
So
I've got the 8-hour cream lip balm from Elizabeth Arden.
So hang on, do you wear more than one lipstick a day?
No. So if I'm going out for a meeting, I will put one on in the morning and then put that in my bag.
Right.
But I could possibly have had the one that I was wearing the day before also in my bag.
I see.
So there's quite often about 6 lipsticks in my bag that I then have to try and remember where they are. I've got a nail varnish. I had a meeting yesterday in London. I had to race into London very early. And the day before I had picked off all of my gel nail varnish and my nails were terrible, so I had to do this next to a really old man yesterday who was looking at me like he wanted to kill
me. You didn't do it on the train, did you?
I did.
Oh my goodness, that's like a massive social faux pas.
I
wanted it on a plane. Isn't that the worst thing to do on a plane? Not the worst thing to do on a plane, there are worse things you could do on a plane, but I once painted my nails on an EasyJet flight to Malaga, I think it was. And the looks that you get, understandably.
Well, it's the fumes, and there's nowhere for them to go.
No, but that's a really lovely colour. It's like Essie, what is it?
Ballet slippers. It's really, just really simple.
It's a really delicate pink, isn't it? Nice.
Your nails look pretty fabulous. You need to do an Instagram of those.
I will.
Sunglasses, always have sunglasses. My purse, which is actually the inner section of my purse, because my real purse won't fit in here. I've got a pen because I'm an ex-journalist. I always have a pen.
You've got to have a pen.
Train tickets, half-used tissues.
I'm a bit disappointed, Erica. You've got quite a stylish bag.
Well, I tend to use that, and then I will always have an extra bag, so everything else goes in there, which is generally things like, especially if I'm going into London, if I've got meetings, which I do on a Thursday, I'll have extra shoes, magazine, book, all of that stuff.
An overspill bag,
that's it.
Well, listen, Erica, thank you so much for being my guest today. I've really enjoyed talking to you. I would like you to now make me another cup of tea.
Okay.
And we can carry on chatting.
Okay.
But yeah, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to Not Another Mummy podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it, and I'll see you next time.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.